You're listening to the Cinemaniacs, episode number 3, for February 17th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what you're spacing out. So one just shut up, baby. You keep skipping, skipping. Welcome to the Cinemaniacs, episode number 3. My name is Walt, and to my left is Jeff.
Hey there, Walt.
Hey there, Jeff. And everybody out there, thanks for joining us. This is the podcast where some guys from Vegas talk about movies, Netflix, DVDs, anything in between.
Life, you know, whatever. Whatever comes to our minds.
This week, we're going to be continuing our Oscar coverage. We're going to be reviewing the Best Picture and Best Director nominees. We're going to be reviewing movies we saw this week, Gone Baby Gone and La Vie en Rose, as well as telling you what's coming out on DVD this week.
Yep. And hey, good news, we're actually going to have a real Oscar show. Thank God the strike's over, right?
That's right. Yeah. Is it over 100%?
I believe so, yeah.
That's good to hear.
I think we're going to have, you know, we're actually going to have the whole thing, the whole shebang.
Now, let me ask you, did the strike affect you at all?
Yes. Yes, it actually did.
Really?
How did it affect you? I'm not a huge TV well, I'm huge compared to, huge TV watcher compared to you. Mr. I have an 80-inch TV and never watch it.
It's only 73, okay. And I just don't watch television.
That's right. Don't watch television on his giant television. But anyway, we're not even going to get into that because I could go on for a bit. But anyhow, I enjoy a few television shows, some key ones like Heroes and 24, and those shows were actually very much affected by the strike. 24 is pushed back till next year. Heroes, I think, is finally getting back on track, but some of the few shows that I do enjoy, I've pretty much had to miss out on.
So they haven't been showing these shows?
Some of them they had whatever episodes they had, and they had to stop. Some of them, 24 never got started, never got off the ground.
I heard 24 that, you know, they like took a poll or something, and people would rather watch the whole, 24 episodes?
Absolutely.
All at once rather than watch 8 now and then the rest of them when the strike was over with?
Yeah. No, Fox does 24 that way. They don't, the first few seasons they would, you know, make you wait a few weeks after certain key episodes to start back up again, but now they do the seasons beginning to end. Sometimes you even get a couple of nights where they'll have 2 hours in a row, and that's the way it should be, you know, right beginning to end.
I tell you, the only way that it affected me in any way was the Golden Globe Awards not being shown. That little half hour whatever press conference.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
Yeah.
And to be sure, I really don't like the Golden Globes because here on the West Coast of America, they don't show them live.
Yeah.
It's pre-recorded, so you don't get the same impact you do as you do with the Oscars.
Right. But so, yeah, that's one of the big ones for me, though, also, is getting, you know, getting a good, honest, you know, flashy, fun, well-written Oscar telecast.
Right. And so we're going to have that. Yeah, I'm just... They told me the strike was just about over with. It's over with. And if somebody hadn't told me there was a strike, I would not have noticed it. Maybe this summer's movies, there won't be as many, or they won't be as good or something because of the writer's strike. But I tell you, it had no effect on me whatsoever.
Well, it affected me, but it didn't ruin my life or anything like that. The effect was minimal. You know, I survived.
So, well, we're glad that it's over with.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm glad they got to whatever settlement because I got to tell you, if, you know, I don't watch reality TV anymore at all, ever. You know, I don't want to hear guys that sound like us going, yeah, you know, and he's a, she's a, this or that. I like actually good writing, you know?
Yeah.
A few years ago, a little show came on called Deadwood, had just some of the most amazing writing I've ever, you know, most amazing dialogue I've ever heard. And it's like, okay, I can't listen to normal people talk anymore. I need somebody with some wit and some
panache.
Vocabulary. Mm. You know, like I gotta have. You know, they need to talk. They need to speak better than us do. If you know what I mean.
That's right. That's right. So strike's over. Great.
Good deal.
In other news, I got an email on Tuesday from Netflix that said, and you probably got it too, they are no longer going to be supporting HD DVD.
Yes, I saw that email.
So whatever HD DVDs they have now, they're going to continue to carry until they wear out, break, get lost in the mail, whatever. What have you. But from now on, they're only going to be buying Blu-ray. DVDs. This was on the heels of Best Buy making mention or stating that their employees are only going to be recommending Blu-ray.
Ooh. Yeah, there's so two more nails in the coffin of the old HD DVD.
They'll continue to carry HD and the HD players, HD DVD players, but their employees are told to recommend Blu-ray. Walmart, no more HD. DVDs or players. I think in May, they're going to stop carrying both.
Wow.
So, with all these announcements, Toshiba, the makers of HD DVD, they have stated publicly that they're going to be reevaluating their backing of the HD DVD
format.
And
the winner is
no word yet from Paramount, that is their DreamWorks as well, or Universal, who are both in the HD DVD camp.
Yeah,
as far as the big movie studios go.
Right. Yeah, the one the whole thing started with Warner Brothers, switching over. They're going to take their entire catalog to Blu-ray.
Right.
That was the first sign right there. The first nail in the coffin, as it were.
Yeah. And I was reading some things, some insight. People said that the choosing of sides is really what did it. Not necessarily Warner going with Blu-ray, although that was a big, big thing. But actually, when Paramount started choosing sides last year, when they chose to go with HD DVD, that started the end of HD DVD. That is, now people had to pick sides.
And as opposed to releasing one or the
other. Warner Brothers was doing both. Fox used to do both.
If
they didn't do both, then they certainly did HD DVD at one point.
Right.
And now they're in the Blu-ray camp. So,
sometimes, ultimatums rarely work in your favor.
That's right.
You force somebody, their instinct is to go, well, you're going to make me go here, I'm going to go over there.
That's exactly right.
So.
And so it was not as long a fight that I thought it was going to be. And to be sure, it's not 100% over because until Paramount and Universal make their moves over to Blu-ray. Now, because Paramount used to do both, they're said that they still have all their factories and everything in place. It's going to be very easy to switch back over
whenever
they do make that announcement. Toshiba, meanwhile, is losing hundreds of millions of dollars all that they spent $2.7 million alone on the 32nd Super Bowl commercial.
So. wasn't it Sony that lost out on Betamax all those years ago?
Right. So. Well, they lost out on Betamax. They lost out on mini discs.
Yep.
Sony has never backed a winner before.
Yeah.
with the exception of CD, they got a small part in CD. So.
So hey, they were due.
Yeah. Good for them.
And I got to say, having seen the format firsthand, I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
Before
this past week, I'm impressed with it as well. I was thinking, run out and get like a $100 HD DVD player because there's still so many movies that are out on HD DVD.
Exclusively.
And, even the Xbox 360 HD DVD drive is down to $119 now. I said, gosh, just pick that up or something.
I own a 360 and I still don't have it.
Now you're going to see them in bargain bins.
Yeah.
And I don't expect anybody to be buying any more HD DVDs, but you can still rent them. But we just have to wait a few months until the Blu-ray catalog comes along.
That's it. Yeah, it won't be too much longer.
No. Maybe, some of the big movies, like the Bourne movies, they have like a Blu-ray box set.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for some of the Blu-ray box sets. We were talking about, I think I was talking to your wife about, wanting to see the Kill Bill movies again.
Mm-hmm.
And looked up online and no Blu-ray yet.
No. But that should be Miramax, which is in the Disney camp.
Yeah.
So, now, conversely to that is the Weinstein Brothers, the Weinstein Company, is in the HD DVD camp. So it's not a bigger company, but their movies, and actually it's kind of funny because Blockbuster in their stores, there's a few stores that carry HD DVD, but they are primarily a Blu-ray store.
Right.
But Weinstein Brothers last year made a deal to exclusively rent through Blockbuster, but they're in the HD DVD camp, and Blockbuster doesn't do HD DVD. with the exception of a few stores.
Wow.
So
it seems like kind of a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's, well, didn't think that one through a little there, did they?
No, no. Of all people, Michael Bay this week was really talking about how he's always supported Blu-ray and said it was a better format and it would win. And, you know, that Transformer movie that he directed, best-selling HD DVD of all time. So, he was very public about acknowledging, not wanting it to come out on the HD DVD format.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's only so much control he has at this point. And but all that means is it's going to come out on Blu-ray and sell even more copies.
That's true.
All those PS3 owners running around there, they're going to love that.
Oh, yeah. So long, HD. Long live the Ray. Long live the BR. Was it the BD?
For some reason, they abbreviate that thing BD. BD-ROM.
BD-ROM. Oh, yeah. Dear
In
Lord.
Fact, speaking of BD, there was somebody had their cell phone. It works for Circuit City. And they were going through their catalog, and they saw Transformers BD. And there, they took a picture of it, an employee of Circuit City, coming out later this year, I guess. And there was no ship date on it. But he, that somebody thought enough to post that online. Kind of curious. BD.
BD. Oh, well. Oh, it's in there. It's in the manual.
That's it. I think everybody call it Blu-ray. Blu-ray BDs. This is easy to say.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing our Oscar coverage. Oscar is going to be airing February 24th, which is this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said about the Golden Globes, the Oscars are aired live, even here on the West Coast, every year, and which is great. We get to see it with the rest of the world. I think the Oscars is the second biggest television show aside from the Super Bowl every year.
Yep.
Yeah. And this year should be no shortage. There's certainly a lot of talk about a lot of these movies.
Yeah, we've said it before. I said it last week. There's just a lot of, you know, a lot of good movies being represented here in these awards this year.
Yeah. And Jon Stewart's coming back as a host.
Awesome. Love me some Jon Stewart.
Yeah. I gotta watch more of him because I haven't seen very much. I never watched the TV show. The Daily Show?
Absolutely. I mean, he, even during the strike, he pretty much carried it off, you know, not completely solo, but, you know, did a really great job. It was still as funny as it ever was.
Good.
Even without the writers. Impressive.
So this week we're going to be getting into Best Directing. The nominees for Best Directing are Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
I have not seen.
I haven't seen it either. And it's still showing in theaters here in Vegas.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've thought about seeing it, but, you know, they have that. It doesn't always happen, but more Best Picture movies have won that have also been nominated for Best Director. If you're not nominated for Best Director, you're not going to win Best Picture.
Right.
That's odds are. And Diving Bell and the Butterfly didn't get Best Picture nominated.
No. Yeah.
So Diving Bell and the Butterfly was directed by Julian Schnabel, or Schnabel. How would you pronounce the name?
Schnabel.
Schnabel.
Schnabel. And if it's wrong, you know what, hey.
We apologize to him.
Yeah, we apologize. He can call us and we'll apologize.
Right. Now.
Like he's got an Oscar. I got an Oscar-nominated film. I'm going to call these guys. Anyway.
I haven't seen Diving Bell and the Butterfly, but I did see his other movie, Before Night Falls, which actually had a cameo from Johnny Depp in there, and Javier Bardem was in there as well. And that was really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed. So I have high hopes for Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
All
right. And we talked about Juno briefly last week. Juno tells a story of a young girl, 16 or so, who ends up getting pregnant accidentally. She's not even serious with her boyfriend and decides that she wants to give it up for adoption rather than have an abortion. And she chooses a family played by Jason Bateman and Jennifer Garner. Both fantastic performances as well. Enjoyed this movie quite a bit. It's funny, Ellen Page, the little comments and things that just come so easily out of her mouth. But it's fun. That here's another movie where music is part of the story. That it just blends in so well. And in fact, Ellen Page and Michael Cera even have a duet in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
really good. I got the soundtrack. It's that good.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Just a little cute little folksy songs.
That's cool. Well, I'm a huge fan of Arrested Development. So Michael Cera and Jason Bateman, you know, those guys were one of the keys to making that show just so great. And, you know, the fact that they still, you know, get together and act or whatever, I don't know how it happens, if it happens by chance or if they, you know, work towards that or something like that. But, you know, I really do want to see this movie. I've heard nothing but good about it.
It is good. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
As I do Michael Clayton. I don't think you have to run out to the theater to get Michael Clayton, namely because it's coming out on DVD this week.
Yep.
But it is still showing in the theaters, and it is a good performance. Definitely rent the DVD. Very entertaining performance by George Clooney and Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah, Tom Wilkinson rarely disappoints.
So, directing, continuing, we have No Country for Old Men.
I went and saw this movie not knowing a darn thing about it, except that it was from the Coen brothers. And that was all I needed to know.
Same with me. I didn't know anything about it.
I would see a Coen Brothers. You could tell me it was going to be 15 minutes long, and I'd pay my $10 to see a Coen Brothers movie, because I know it'd be a good 15 minutes. I don't care.
That's right. A couple weeks ago when we were talking about Best Supporting Actor, Javier Bardem, that's the only thing I had known about, is that he had this page boy style haircut, and he was mean and ruthless. That's the only thing I knew about the movie. And went in there, I think we saw it together.
Yes. Wow.
Just thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, these guys, Best Director, I mean, they've done so many great movies. They're so worthy of winning this award.
Absolutely.
For this movie or a handful of other ones, even.
Absolutely. I mean, this is their first really well-received in this way, critically. Well, not even critically, award-worthy, supposedly. And I say award-worthy, supposedly, because there have been others that I think are award... Their movies are just amazing to me. This is their first award... award-friendly movie since Fargo. Exactly. And which, you know, deserved everything it won, and I think it deserved everything it didn't win.
Yeah, definitely. Fargo was a fantastic masterpiece as well. And they did get nominated for Best Writing for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is a thoroughly entertaining movie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But see, did they get nominated for Best Picture for that?
No. And Fargo didn't get Best Picture either, just Best Director nominated for. Well, it got some other nominations, but not the big ones.
So, you know what? Yeah, not knowing they should... I mean, I still have to see There Will Be Blood, because I hear that's the only real contender. But I think even if I saw it, I think I would still root for No Country, because I just love the movie, and I love these guys. I love these guys. Love their movies.
And... totally well deserved.
Yep.
No Country for Old Men tells the story of Josh Brolin's character. He finds a bag of money out in the desert.
While hunting.
While hunting. Apparently some drug dealers had some shootout. Everybody's dead.
Nice bloody massacre there.
He gets this money, and of course the guys who really own that money send people after him to get it back.
A person in particular.
Tommy Lee Jones plays the sheriff of this small town. Where they're at. We talked about last week how great his performance was.
Yep. This is a movie I haven't seen since I saw it in the theaters, and I'm actually dying to see it again, because I'm sure that it's one of those that gets better after a second or even third viewing.
Because it's so mystifying watching the movie. You don't know anything that's going on, and there's so many little things. They pay so much attention to detail, everything that happens in the frame.
Well, that's the thing. You're just trying so hard to concentrate and make sure you're catching everything that's going on. You don't want to miss anything. So on a second look, you can just sit back. You can sit back and just relax and enjoy the performances. You know, because they just, I don't know what they do to get things out of their actors, but... they pull it off in dramas, in comedies. They're just amazing.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They get performances.
They do.
Yep,
they definitely do. And finally, There Will Be Blood. Paul Thomas Anderson. You haven't seen it yet, I know, but
I know
Paul Thomas Anderson. You've seen his other movies.
Yep.
Heart 8, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love.
Yep.
All fantastic.
Yeah.
All fantastic. Yep. And this is their first movie since that, I believe. No Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
He just continues.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. brilliant.
He's, I tell you, you know what? In another 10 years, I'll feel about Paul, I'll feel about him the way I feel about the Coens.
Yes. It, a lot of these movies are going to be repeated now that we move into Best Director, or I'm sorry, Best Picture.
But we have, can, I'd have, you know, some of them. I have no problem showering a little more praise on.
We have for Best Picture, Atonement. You haven't seen that?
No, I haven't seen it. Not a couple, terribly interested.
You said that a few weeks ago, and I have to say you're fortunate that you didn't see it. It's not a bad movie, but not worthy of Best Picture. I don't know where that came from, the nomination. Lisa and I watched it, and it was decent. Keira Knightley, she's always great. James McAvoy, but...
And that's despite James McAvoy. I like James McAvoy.
No,
loved
he was
Last
good.
King of
he was good, and she was good. And right. even the young girl in there, Saoirse Ronan, she is was amazing. In fact, it was you're watching her, and I watched it not remembering that she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and then afterwards, you, well, yes, of course she was, because it, she's captivating. It just wasn't a big story here. That's why I was disappointed in the picture.
Yeah, I'll see it on. I'll probably I'll see it on some kind of DVD format.
So. Don't rush out to see
but
it.
But I'm not. Yeah.
But happened to be nothing else on. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Just based on that, I'm going to tell you, I only gave it 3 stars. Okay. It's disappointing. Right. However, back to Juno.
Yes, I must get off my big round of tush and see that one.
Definitely worthy of Best Picture of the Year. And as we said, Best Director. This movie was thoroughly entertaining. Best Director, Jason Reitman. Okay, Jason Reitman also did...
Any relation to Ivan Reitman?
Yes, this is his son.
Oh,
his son.
Really?
Oh, no, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
That's pretty awesome.
He did Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I so, love that movie.
Right. He's even directed some of the U.S. versions of The Office.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, then he's off and running.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Juno, like I said, from what I know of Ellen, I said this last week, from what I know of Ellen Page, I know her from Hard Candy. Amazing movie, amazing performance. Just one of those moments you're like, okay, this is somebody to watch for because she's going to do some really neat stuff in her career.
Right.
You know, she's, definitely. I mean, she was so young in this. I mean, I know she was playing even younger, but my God, she was fearless.
Exactly. And she's going to go on to do other things, and we're almost, I don't want to say that we're going to get tired of her, but I know that after these last performances, Hard Candy and now this, Juno, we're going to be seeing a lot of her. Hopefully they don't, you know.
Well, let's just, you hope she doesn't take, you know, hope she's selective and doesn't take everything that comes along, you know.
Yes.
But she, I mean, she seems, from her performances, she seems to gravitate towards interesting, intelligent characters, at least so far. So, you know, I don't see too many... teen heartthrob teeny bop movies coming out of her anytime soon.
No. She thinks she's going to play smart roles. Okay, so that was Juno. Then we have Michael Clayton.
Back to Michael Clayton again.
Michael Clayton, directed by Tony Gilroy.
Oh, Tony right. Gilroy?
Yeah. Michael Clayton, directed by Tony Gilroy. Tony Gilroy, this is his first directing job, but he co-wrote the Bourne Identity movie. And I think he also co-wrote Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He's worked with Doug Liman before. Besides writing Bourne Ultimatum, he also wrote The Bourne Supremacy. Proof of Life. Was that with Russell Crowe?
Yeah, that was with Russell Crowe. That was the kidnapping one.
Armageddon.
Yep.
Devil's Advocate.
Yeah. Dolores Claiborne. Extreme Measures.
That was the one with Hugh Grant
and Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that was
that
good.
Was a good movie.
It was good. Oh, different. Yeah. So, but Michael Clayton was his first directing role, so he was nominated for directing, and now here's Best Picture nomination as well.
All right.
I can't say anything bad about Tony Gilroy. When you tell me that he's responsible for the Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, I'm right there.
There you go.
And Bourne Ultimatum as well. He's the stories for all three of them.
Yeah.
We talked about that on an earlier podcast as well. The Bourne series.
Oh yeah.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, that was in one of the betas, boy.
So, thank you, Tony. We hope to see more from you.
There you go.
And then Best Picture, we have No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say enough good things about it.
Back to my favorite country.
The only reason why I think this movie can't win, aside from another movie beating it, is that it's very violent. Not a lot of violent movies have won Academy Awards for Best Picture. Silence of the Lambs comes to mind. Unforgiven, I think you could say, is a violent movie.
Yeah, it, you know what, it does have its moments, but the moments are so contrasted against the moments of quiet and exposition that it works, you know.
Yeah.
The violence offsets the quiet, and that's the thing, you know. I'm trying not to give anything away, but that's the thing. The No Country for Old Men is that this character is not equipped to deal with this kind of violence.
Right.
You know, and it's just amazing.
And again, not trying to give anything away, but the quietness, there's no music in this movie.
Yeah.
It's quiet. Where some movies, the music, we've talked this week about Juno, and last week Across the Universe, that the music is part of the movie.
Yeah.
Just like music is part of the movie of Star Wars.
Right.
You know, it's almost a character. No Country for Old Men has no music.
Yeah.
It's haunting.
Yeah, you don't notice that.
No, you don't. And that's why I don't want to say it, because I don't want people watching it thinking, hey, yeah, there is no music, because it's going to take you out of
yeah,
the story.
You don't want to, yeah.
But yeah. I think the story will pull you back in. It's just amazing.
Like I said, want to see it again just so I can enjoy, you know, like I said, I know what's going down and everything like that. I just want to enjoy the performances again. And I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for it big time.
As am I. I think it's worthy, more so than There Will Be Blood, which is could certainly win without a doubt. And I would
not be disappointed. Well, it's the odds-on favorite from what I hear.
Yeah. And I think in particular because of what I said before. It is very good. It's very good. It tells the story of a guy from the turn of the century up through 10, 20, 30, 40 years, becomes an oil man, striking oil across the West, California, and very successful at it. He's that's played by Daniel Day-Lewis, who's nominated for Best Actor, we talked about last week.
Right.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal performance in a fantastic movie.
Yep.
You know, and not just him, but the supporting characters. Obviously, you can't do it all on your own. But a young man that was in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, he played. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in this. Paul Dano.
Oh, Paul Dano, yeah. Paul Dano was great.
Little Miss Sunshine, the boy who didn't talk.
Yeah.
And, yeah, There Will Be Blood. There he is. In a speaking role, but thoroughly entertaining. The movie had twists and things, and just I love this movie. It was really good. So as we've been saying for the past few weeks, this is going to be another great year for the Oscars. You don't hear it too much anymore. Oh, the state of the movie industry today is poor. They're just coming out with so many great things.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's just not the ones you hear. The ones you hear about the blockbusters and everything like that, they're fun, popcorn and movies and everything like that. It's those little ones, you know. It's the ones that sneak up. It's the ones that really only get spotlighted this time of year.
Exactly.
You know.
You know, come May, you see the Spider-Man, Shrek, Pirates of the Caribbean, 3-3-3. No, those are fine. You
they're
know,
fun.
Enjoyable.
Yeah,
but well, except Shrek.
Yeah.
But
you need to put a bullet in that dunk.
You know, you can see movies and enjoy them. Here we have just phenomenal movies coming out.
Yep.
And we will probably record the next episode after we've seen the Oscars.
Yeah.
And so we'll have a up to the minute recap of the show. And it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
There's television for the 73-inch TV.
There you go. Oh my God, you're going to watch broadcast TV. Yeah, wow. We've done that since Super Bowl Sunday.
True. That is true. Yeah, it's true. I haven't even watched The Terminator. Not one episode. I haven't recorded. That's something I'm looking forward to.
There you go. All right. I got to bring up something in the up-and-coming movie genre. We got done talking about blockbusters. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I've mentioned it to you to see it. Finally saw the first teaser for the new Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I got to tell you, felt like I was 12 again.
Really?
It was great.
You remember the previews for Raiders of the Lost Ark? from the guys who brought you Star Wars and Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and
Yep. So yeah, it was pretty cool. It starts off with, you know, little memories of the first three, and then just gives you a taste of what's to come. And you know, got to tell you, I mean, when I first heard about it, I saw the movie Firewall with Harrison Ford. Good movie, fun, but man, he was really looking his age, and so I'm just like, I don't know if he could do this now, you know?
Really?
I'm wondering if they waited too long. And then they mentioned it, and they announced it, and they started it, and I saw the first shot of him sitting in his chair, dressed up like Indiana Jones, and I'm like, all right, I'm there no matter what. And now I saw this trailer, and I gotta tell you, I feel like I owe the man an apology. Like I should, you know, go out and, you know, mow his lawn, like all 40 acres out in Montana or whatever the hell he's got, you know.
That's Wyoming. Yeah, it's I can't, I haven't watched it yet, but was it is it available at QuickTime?
Yahoo, actually, Yahoo. Has
okay, it. Well, we'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
You can go to the website thecinemaniacs.com, and on the link for this show, number 3, you'll see the link for the trailer. I will watch it by the time you get there. By the way, if you want to send us an email, that's at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. And you can send us an email telling us you know, suggestions for future shows, how much you like us now. Actually, if you like the way the show's going now, tell your friends. Get more listeners, the better we get.
That's right.
Also, if you want to send a voicemail, you know, you can attach an audio clip, an MP3, to the email and send it to us. We'll play it on the air. Love the listener feedback. And like I said, the more we get, the better it is for you.
There you go. And if you hate it, well, don't tell anybody. Least of all us. We're very fragile.
You see people at the office sitting around talking. Say, hey, did you listen to that Cinemaniac show? Nah, I don't listen to that show anymore. Those guys are jerks.
I don't think I could take that.
No.
Oh, they don't dislike anything. They like everything, man.
Well, that brings us to one of our new movies of the week, La Vie en Rose, which tells the story of Edith
Piaf.
Piaf, it's a French name, who apparently is a singer.
One of the biggest pop singers in French history.
Hence why I never heard of her before.
Right.
This melody you will hear follows me everywhere I go. I hear it when I am sad, and especially when I am glad. It seems to mock me for my past sins. It taunts me, and it is driving me crazy. Padam.
My only reference to her was in Saving Private Ryan.
They were listening to her music then?
Right before the big battle where everybody dies.
At the beginning of the movie?
No, at the end of the movie.
She just gave away for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everybody dies at the end of Private Ryan. Except Private Ryan.
But I guess if you didn't see that coming at the beginning of the movie.
I don't know what to tell you.
You know, I'm trying to think now if everybody does die at that movie. I don't even remember the ending. Just watch the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan and turn it off after that. It'll change your life.
I watch it all the way through. Like the whole thing.
So
anyway,
Edith Piaf, Marion Cotillard.
That's Rice Piaf, son. Oh. Edith. It's Edith Piaf.
Piaf.
P-I-A-F.
Really?
Yeah. Think piss off and shorten it. Piaf.
Okay. All right. Well, Edith.
Yeah, Edith Piaf. You know. Anyway.
This tells her life story. I mean, from when she's a little girl.
To when she died at the ripe old age of 47 or 48. My God.
And that's not giving away anything. They show in the beginning of the movie that, well, first of all, you know that she's dead now because she was born in like 1905 or so. But it's based on a true story. And again, it tells her story from when she was a little girl, growing up in a brothel, to her retirement back in France, I think she was in. You know, I would think this biographical movie that something would happen in it, and this movie was just totally boring to me. There's totally uneventful life, and nothing happened to this woman. I don't know why they're telling the story. She sang very good. I enjoyed her music, and if Marion Cotillard sang the actual songs, even more kudos to her, because it was, and the music was entertaining. How they showed her at different stages of this woman's life, and the makeup, and the how she looked older, even the facial expressions. You know, at 1 minute she looks like Audrey Tautou from Amelie, and the next she's like a little old grandma in the flashback sequences that they had. She was enjoyable to watch. I didn't enjoy this movie so much.
I enjoyed it. I always enjoy biographical picks, even the people you know, that might not necessarily think I would think to make a movie about. But Edith Piaf is, you know, not necessarily in our country, but in another country, a very well known, revered person. I'd heard of Edith Piaf from this other movie, Saving Private Ryan, and I'd heard that she, you know, sang songs, you know, basically in her singing could really capture the sorrow and misery of some aspects of life, and how that, you know, how this came from parts of her life. She had a pretty rough life. I found it interesting, and interesting enough that I was able to watch it all the way through without, you know, really checking the clock or anything like that.
When you talked about the songs, that was one thing I was disappointed in. Obviously, I don't speak French, so we watched it subtitled, and none of the songs were subtitled. So you just get the... Maybe that was why the music did... I liked the music a lot, because I didn't see the subtitles. Not that would take it away, but because, as you said, you could feel the sorrow.
Yeah.
You can feel the song coming through.
Like I said, the performance was definitely good. She pretty much became this person, you know, as well as... I mean, she... You know, in the last week's show, I saw her in something else, and... You know, I didn't recognize her until afterwards, when she didn't have the makeup on in one of the behind the scenes. It's like, oh, this is the girl I saw in another movie. And, you know, so I'll give her that. I mean, she really got into character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you talk about biographies, I'm glad that it was different than, say, Walk the Line or Ray, where you have... two singers in each individual movie, Johnny Cash and Ray Charles.
Right.
They start off, they get their career going, they get married, they get into drugs, they get divorced, they find their mistresses, and their life ends, or something like that. The same story. This story was not like that, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, her life was pretty screwed up from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I guess, I think that's the thing, is to, to come from such... You know, I don't even want to say humble beginnings, come from such tragic beginnings, and to become a national icon.
Right.
I mean, that's impressive.
It is.
You know.
It just wasn't told in a format that was entertaining enough to me.
Yeah. I know, I got enough into it, and I got enough into her character that when a few of the bad things happened, I genuinely felt for her.
Yeah.
So. I mean, enjoy, you know, like I said, what would you get? What did you give it?
I would give it 3 stars, based solely on the performance of her, because the movie wasn't a lot going on, as I've said. But her performance and the songs of the movie elevated it to that level.
Yeah, and that's the same, but I'd give it 4. I think I liked it a little bit better. I like the whole period aspect of it, you know, seeing what different places might have looked like at that period in time.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, you know, seeing France... At that time, was nice, and the ghettos, the lounges, things. Interesting. I don't recommend it, other than to watch her performance.
I'd recommend it. Definitely rent it. Check it out. Yeah. Were there a worse way to spend 2 hours?
Right. One of those ways was not a worse way. Is Gone Baby Gone, which we also watched this week.
I heard someone ripped cheese off on a New Hampshire run. Did you hear anything about that?
No.
Care to take a polygraph?
I already took one.
Different questions this time. Come on.
It's all right. We don't care about a couple of hopheads beating each other. We care about your child. And we know you took the money. So just tell us how much you took. How much? How much?
130,000 dollars. Yes, B.
How'd you do it?
We dropped 4 keys on these bikers. When we was walking back through the motel with all the money, these cops just swooped right in, went right for the bikers. And Amanda was with us, so we just pretended to be like a family. And we got in the car, took off.
You took Amanda with you?
Oh, what am I going to do, leave her in the car, B?
Gone, Baby Gone, directed by Ben Affleck.
Yes.
His first directing performance.
Hopefully not his last.
Hopefully not his last, based on this.
I'm telling you.
Now, he directed his brother, Casey Affleck, who we've seen in Ocean 13's movies. He was nominated for The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, mm-hmm. playing Robert Ford. This tells a story of Casey Affleck and Michelle Monaghan are a couple that are like private investigators. They get hired to find this kidnapped girl, and he's kind of bumping heads with some of the police officers that are working the case as well. He's a kind of young guy, and they wondering where he's coming from. But he was hired actually by the family.
Right.
And he investigates some things, and he gets some leads that they don't. They get some leads that he doesn't, and try to figure out the case. He's, I think, a good performance. Some people say that he was miscast in this role, but he's a young detective-like guy, and I think he played it well.
You know what? He definitely, at times... Well, I liked his performance. Let me say that. I loved his performance. There were times he had that I'm in over my head feel, which added to the depth of the character, made the character more interesting, because there were times when this guy is like, what am I into here? This is, you know, possibly... You know, and he's the one that first is like, oh, let's go. Yeah, let's just do this, and... Next thing you know, he's like, wow, what have I gotten myself into?
Right.
You know, so I like that aspect of it. Besides I liked his performance.
There was three other characters that played great performances. You know, without a doubt, you have to mention Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
For as little screen time as he had, it just stole the scenes.
Powerful.
That man
is
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Stop doing the kiss a girl type of movies and do more good stuff like this.
Absolutely.
You know. His role in Million Dollar Baby was good. Again, small role, but he was fantastic in it.
Absolutely.
And then Ed Harris, I think the co-star of the movie.
Yep.
Vicious. Loved him.
Yeah, love Ed Harris.
Yeah. And above all else, Amy Ryan, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Man, I got to tell you, I got to give it to her just because I haven't hated a character this much in a long time.
And she was playing the kidnapped girl's mother.
And you just loathe her. Oh, so good.
It was amazing. She's like a coked up, drunk,
junky,
hussy,
skank, fucking piece of... just, God.
And
played so well. Yet even as messed up and effed up as she is, you find a moment when you can actually feel a little bit of sympathy for her. That's how well this is played.
Exactly. I think that has to do a lot that she's a mother, so, you know, her daughter's missing.
Yeah.
You know, now, she's not the one that hired Casey Affleck. Her brother and his wife hired them.
Yeah.
That Amy Madigan.
Yeah, played by Amy Madigan and Titus Welliver. Titus Welliver, my man from... played Silas Adams in Deadwood. Got to put a shout out to
okay.
Deadwood.
Okay, right.
Love me some Titus Welliver.
They were great. Ben Affleck pulled these actors together and got performances out of them.
Yes, he did. You know. Yes, he did.
And he found this great story. This was an excellent, excellent job.
Excellent story. Really captured what I would imagine the grittier parts of Boston. You know, characters all over the place, you know. Very well done movie, very well told story. No easy endings, no easy answers.
And where you said Boston, he pulled the accents out, the thick Boston accents, like Fargo has the thick North Dakota accents.
Exactly. No, yeah, and No Country for Old Men, you got to see the people out in the middle parts of Texas that nobody goes to, you know.
Yep.
just the, you know, just experiencing a part of Americana that no film really can has brought out.
He did a fantastic job. So, you know, I'm looking here at other things maybe he had coming up in the pipe for directing. He doesn't have anything, but there's a credit from 1993 in IMDb for Ben Affleck directing a movie called I Killed My Lesbian Wife, Hung Her on a Meat Hook, and Now I Have a Three-Picture Deal at Disney.
Okay.
That might be a short film or something. Yeah, it was a 60-minute short film. Well, good for him that he could parlay that into a acting career.
That's awesome.
And we were talking that such a good director he is, I would like to see him direct Michael Damon or Matt Damon in a movie.
That's absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him direct more. He can stay behind the camera for all I care. And I'm not saying anything bad about his acting. I'm actually a fan of the guy. But, yeah, his directing has impressed me.
Definitely, definitely.
So, yeah, big, huge 5 stars. 5 really big.
I give it 5 stars as well.
Supernova stars for Gone Baby Gone.
I'm giving it 5 stars as well. And I hate to say it, to reiterate something that you had said earlier, or maybe it was last week, that this seems like we're gushing so much about the movies that we watch, but we're just seeing so many good films.
We've really, really been hitting our marks with the movies we've been seeing. We have not seen a lot of dogs, you know?
No, we haven't at all.
Actually, you know what? You know what? We haven't seen a lot of dogs together that we're discussing. I've seen, you know, I watched, made the mistake and TiVo'd all 110 minutes of, or no, hour and 10 minutes of Epic Movie.
What?
Yeah.
And you watched it?
Yeah. You know, and that's an hour and 10 minutes I'll never get back. Not one laugh, man. Not one laugh.
Wow.
And I wanted to laugh. I was in the mood to laugh. I'm like, you know, okay, help me help you. Make me laugh. Couldn't do it.
One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to, Cinema Slave, Joe Barlow there was mentioning how a couple weeks ago how he had listened or watched Meet the Spartans, and he was the same way. He loathed the movie.
So fucking awful.
And
I'm trying not to cuss much. I cuss a lot in my real life, and I'm trying not to do that here, but this movie was fucking awful.
Well, my thing is, I watched Scary Movie, and it was decent. Scary Movie 2, no. And so since then, I haven't watched Scary Movie 3, or I think they had a fourth one.
I saw this.
I did watch Date Movie, which wasn't horribly bad, but makes me know that Epic Movie or Meet the Spartans, and I think there was another one in there. No, I'm not watching those movies.
Yeah.
What did your Netflix rating say?
I didn't look at, dude, I was home, it was on, I just watched it, you know?
And the best thing you can say about the movie is that it's short.
Yeah, thank God, you know, I mean, by the time you're rolling credits, hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and it's just like, all right, you know. Shit happens. It's the movie equivalent of stepping in dog shit. It's not the end of your world, but it could ruin your day. Yeah. Oof. So, there you go. We don't love everything we see, but like I said, we've been fortunate and seen a lot of really good stuff together lately.
Right, right.
And you know what? If we see something that sucks together, we'll tell you about it, of course.
Yeah. If you have suggestions for movies that you want us to see, not sucky movies, but good movies that maybe we haven't heard about, because that's my favorite thing about movies, is finding out movies that nobody's ever heard of before.
Yeah.
And then we can come over here and tell you all about it.
That's right.
So many movies out there. I don't know if I mentioned to this on the air before. I'm not a big fan of buying DVDs simply because I'm not going to get a chance to watch them again. I would like watching movies I've never seen before. Why waste time watching a movie that I saw before when I can watch a movie I've never seen before? There's a few exceptions, you know.
I think there's more exceptions for me than there are for you. There are movies that I can, you know, not daily, obviously, but once every few years, like, wow, I wouldn't mind seeing those performances again, things like that. So, I am not opposed to buying certain event-type movies. You know, I own the Star Wars movies, own the Lord of the Rings movies. You know, so.
Did you read anything or see the previews for the Star Wars Clone Wars series that's coming out? Since you mentioned Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. They're starting off with a movie going to come out in August. Going to be a full-length CG movie.
In the theaters.
That will kick off the half-hour series that will air on TNT and the Cartoon Network.
Excellent.
Looks really good. Looks like some really neat CG. It's reminiscent to me of Gendy the guy who, basically, he's the fellow that did Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack.
Okay.
And he, so he has that style of animation. And that
Dexter's Laboratory wasn't done by the guy that did
Powerpuff
Girls?
No.
Oh.
No. But he did the cartoon, the little mini episodes that aired between the last two Star Wars movies.
Hmm.
The little shorts. And while he had nothing to do with this, the CG characters still have a little bit of that look to them.
You're talking about the Clone Wars shorts.
The original Clone Wars shorts that were the 2D cell animations. Eventually they get released, they're like 10-minute mini episodes.
Even shorter than that, I think.
Yeah, and probably even shorter than that.
And those were good.
They were
great. I enjoyed those. And, back I was shopping at Blockbuster around the time that they were coming on DVD. They didn't even bother to get them in. The week that they came out, they got three in for the whole store following week. And they were for sale, not for rental. That's what it was. They got them in, but they were for sale, not for rental. Mm. And this is a Star Wars thing. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I guess because it was animated, you could say a cartoon. But it was still, it continued the Star Wars story.
Absolutely. Yeah, they fit right in between the last two movies, and they fit in very well.
So hopefully more is made about these movies being part of the Star Wars universe.
Absolutely.
And less about them being animated.
Right. And I think, the 3D CG always helps.
Yeah.
But I've seen some screenshots and a little bit of behind the scenes, and it looks really good.
Good, good. And the story, the second trilogy, Star Wars, got better as it went on.
Yes, it did.
So hopefully George has found his groove again.
Like I said, he found there's a lot more stories to tell with these characters, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Yoda, Mace Windu, and all of them. So. Yep.
By the time it comes out, we would have seen Indiana Jones and seen his story for that.
Yep, looking forward to seeing what he can do with that.
Yeah,
like I said, I think I said that last week. The trailer, amazing.
Yeah, no, I think you just said it a few minutes ago.
Oh, was that a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're gonna have it in the show notes. So
these things go by so fast, I can't keep track. Last week feels like just about an hour ago, I got to tell you.
So that's going to wrap up this week's show. Remember to vote for us on Podcast Alley. The more votes that we get, the more people listening, and we make a better show for you all. Visit the website at thecinemaniacs.com. And with that, have a good night.
Peace.
You better say something besides peace, because that's getting cut out. We're not at war.
All right.
Have a good night.
No, I gotta say something better than have a good night. All right. Okay, go see a movie later. Say, walk your space in out.